I'm going to talk about data-driven decision-making. Now, this is where it becomes interesting. Because for those of you who thought you were going to find out how you can make decisions based on data, data-driven decision-making is actually a bit of a myth. It doesn't actually exist. And this is what I want to actually challenge people to do. Hurry up, come in, sit down. No, they're just going to ignore me, got all that. Okay, right, let's work on. Okay, so I'm going to go through a couple of things. I'm going to go through an introduction. Then I'm going to talk about data creation, data collation, information creation, information collation. And then I'm going to talk about doing emotions to make decisions. There's an awful lot of people that believe you can make decisions without actually having emotions involved in it. And I'm going to prove that that is actually not the case. Then I'm going to look at the decision-making process, because that's what it's all about. For those of you who were here from Jason's session, okay, it's all about data, data, data. Okay? In fact, one of the things that I've noticed over the last couple of years is that there seems to be a lot of people that turn around and talk about this data into decision-making. They talk about data into information, and information into decision-making. I've not seen anyone actually explain it to me yet. So what we have is a whole load of Excel spreadsheets or a whole load of systems that hold all of this data, and we're doing absolutely nothing with it, or it's not aiding in the decision-making from the board. Okay? So that's why I've done this. Okay? If we talk completely about some of the data, now this is where you get the 20,000 Excel spreadsheets down this area down here. And every man and his dog has their spreadsheet, and everybody else's spreadsheet. And especially if there's any engineers in the room, you have spreadsheets on top of spreadsheets that connect to spreadsheets. Okay? And there's quite complex solutions. And then the engineers who want to show what good engineers they are, they just plug a couple of VBA in the back end of it so nobody else can do it all the time anyway. Not that that would have happened in your organisations, it just happens to the ones that I touch. Then when you've got the data creation, you then go into actually then doing something with it. Okay? And then you talk about collating all that data, and then you talk about information creation. That's the first time that intelligence can I say that? Project management intelligence, is that not a bit of an oxymoron? Okay, the first thing where intelligence comes into it, that looks at the data and then says, what should we be looking at? So let's report by exception. How many of you heard of report by exception? Okay, so there's now four people in the audience. No, you're just scratching three, sorry. Okay. Then we talk about actually information collation. And this is about where the decision making happens. Where you go to the board, and the board can actually make a decision based on the information that exists there. Okay? So, not going backwards. This is just to give you an idea of some of the areas we're talking about with regards to this creation of data, collation of data, etc. So what I'm talking about here is the people that are doing the work, the people that create it, the planners that do it, the costs that come in. That's all about the data creation. We're creating a whole load of numbers and a whole load of pieces of data. We then talk about collating it into the pieces, the open plan schedules, and then integrating that with the Cobra. And then we start to go into creating the graphs and charts and things that are needed there. Then starts to look at it being from the information point of view. And then you start to get into a little bit of intelligence, saying, yeah, okay, I'll go on that basis. Somebody who looks at it and then says, the board should be really looking at that bit, or they should be looking at that bit. Okay? And they almost filter what the board have got to do. Now, that may not happen again in your organisation. The board might actually have a say of the data they want to look at before they go to board meeting. Okay? It's not happened wherever I've been, so if you're doing that, well, I'd love to come into your organisation and see it. What normally happens is, the night before the presentation is due, they will give the presentation to the directors, who won't have a chance to look at it, they'll go to the meeting and they'll ask questions to appear like they know what's going on. Okay? And as project managers, we walk in with a big book at the back of our trousers because we're not going to get kicked somewhere, but we don't actually know which bit we're going to get kicked on. Okay? All I love to see is when you go around the room and you see the dynamics of the room. And if you know your boss always starts with him, then you sit that side. And if it's getting close where you might have to actually answer, you start asking your colleagues difficult questions so that they run out of time. Okay, not again, that would never happen in your organisation. I'm actually the worst at doing that because I like to speak. So I have to get banned from speaking. Okay, so again, that's an overview of looking at the creation, collation of data and information. Okay, everybody comfortable so far? Okay, good. I'm seeing more knots. It's now about 10 people. It's getting better. I like to see it. But it's not just the own value data, it's not just the performance data. And again, this is something that happens. It's the project managers, project management, project controls, whatever you want to call them, we hug on to our data. It's ours. Okay? In the same way that finance do. But we've had to get some finance information from them. How many of you give back your information to the finance team to help them with the cash flow? Okay, one. Brilliant. And it's a new one as well, so now 11 people that are watching. Okay. Quality data. Irvine typically doesn't do quality. Okay? But we need to feed into the quality department. One of the classic things I've seen happen is a schedule that's moved on. Nobody told the quality department. They didn't know that all of a sudden they weren't needed next week. They weren't needed for 2 weeks and they turn up. Okay, that happens a lot. And that's about resource management. But it's also about providing all those different data sources and about integrating it. And what is the purpose of integrating it? It's to make a decision. Do we all agree with that? See if I can get more on 11 now. Yeah, 12, 16, yeah. Yeah, cool, thank you. Okay. A little bit more detail about data creation now. There is one single purpose for creating data. Okay? It's not to put on a spreadsheet on your C drive. It's not so that if somebody turns around and says to you, are you doing a good job, and you can say, look at these 14,000 spreadsheets and the VBA behind it, and it does all these charts and graphs. It is purely to try and help increase the time it takes for a decision to be made. Okay? There is no other reason for it. And we need to define the project controls and how we do that. So I haven't missed much, I waited for you. Okay. However, the word data actually can mean a difference between who you're talking to. How many people here are at the very strategic, board-level type of areas in their business? Yeah, there's a couple, okay. How many of you are engineer or have engineering backgrounds? Yeah, how many of you are scientists and things like that? Yeah, okay, there's always one in the room, if you notice that. Okay. The reality is, if we look at that word data, and we say, if we take an engineer, and we say that he is tactical, so he will create data in order to support his opinion. And he will create a load of data, like research, like scientists, in order to, because when you ask them questions, they say, I don't know. But I have evidence that may lead towards that area, because they can't make a definitive yes or no. Okay? Because that's not their role. So what we've got here is an engineer is going to create all those complex spreadsheets. Do we all agree with that engineer's in the room? Because I'm probably the worst at doing that anyway. Okay, 14 people, great. However, at a strategic level, he's not after the data. His data, when he says, I need more data to make a decision, he doesn't need more numbers. He needs options. Do you agree with that? Okay? So that's what he means by data. So what typically happens is, the board will turn around and say, I need more data to an engineer, and an engineer will go and produce an even lower fidelity level spreadsheet, and then get to a whole load of other spreadsheets, and then give that to the boss and say, you know that one 10,000 line spreadsheet you said you needed more data, I've just done it, it's 25,000 lines now, it's no longer weekly, it's actually daily. And he'll go, that doesn't help me. Because what he was asked from data was actually the options and impact analysis. Do we all agree with that? How many of you are project management people? Okay, so the project managers in the room, did you know that that's actually your role? Your role is to take the engineering data and to translate that into the board options so that they can make an effective decision based on that information. Did you know that? Is that a question or was that a yes? Any time, please.
How
That's an interesting question. Come and see me afterwards and I'll give you the answer. No, I think it's a very valid point. When we talk about how all this data gets represented, and I'll come to it in a minute about the representation of the data, because a lot of the times you've got to ask the question, what question are you trying to answer by me turning the data around? So rather than saying to him, you think you want it this way, change it and say to him, what decision are you trying to make? If you're trying to make a decision based on cash flow, then I'll give you this set of data. If you're trying to make a decision about schedule, I'll give you this kind of data. So asking the question he's trying to answer, what you might find is that he doesn't understand the charts, graphs, or whatever he's been given to you, and therefore you need to work with him about what data he needs. But the project manager or board don't need data, they need information. Okay, so hopefully through this I'll answer the question a little bit clearer than that. Anybody else got any questions at any time, please put your arm up. If you just want to have a stretch, put both arms up so I know the difference. Okay. And if you start yawning, I'm really worried. Okay, so let's have a look at some of the data collection now. Very simple, you've got things like schedule, cost, and risk. We all know those things exist in the project management world. Okay, and that's what we're talking about from the collating the data now. Getting all of the bits in from the schedule, all the bits in from the cost, and all the bits in from the risk. Okay, then we're talking about information creation. This has evolved. This is about now filtering and sorting the data that's been given in order to make it effective. So we're talking about now all of those things. Now all of the vendors outside, Delta included, will give you so many. You can filter it this way, you can sort it that way, you get by exception here, you can spin the data that way and this way, in order to get you to the stage where you're starting to create some information. But it's still, remember, the single purpose of data is to help you increase the time it takes to make a decision. So we're still stuck at that. If we then look at where you, for example, you've got the scheduling tool that brings in some of their tools they've got there, you've got the costs, and you've got the risk. And then you've got companies that do things like this, which is a portal in the middle that puts all of that data together. So if you click on our work breakdown structure element, or OBS element, you'll be able to have access straight away to all of the data associated with that single point. And that's where we start to now look at powerful integration coming in from the tools that are out there. Okay? But it still doesn't help the decision making. Because all we've done now is validate our roles as data collectors. Because that's what, in a lot of positions, technology has enabled us to do. How do we make decisions before technology? Who's grey in the room can answer the question? Okay, the reality is hang on, I'm getting grey here. There's an awful lot of those, you know, dice going around the gentleman in this room, I'll tell you. The reality is we made decisions, okay, based on people's opinion, and then we would have a meeting, we would discuss it, but a decision would be made. Now we're bombarding board members with so much data. I walked into one customer, they had 89 control accounts and 179 slides for each control account, and they had a day for the board meeting. Okay, and I had to do a review on them. And somebody who was at the back end of the order that you read the slides to put, if anybody reads this, email me, I'll give them a fiver. The next month he put, it's now raised to a tenner. The next month he said, I don't know why I bother. Okay, I'm going to put a tenner at that because I think it's input to everybody's slides. The reality is we're bombarding with data but not the ability to make a decision. So, information collection now. This is just to give you an idea of trying to get information. It's very busy. It's something I've used for a client previously. It's in the slideshows. If you download the app, by the way, it's got it in there from a PDF point of view. Okay, and I'm just going to concentrate on a couple of bits. But we already know that we're looking at data-driven decision-making, certainly so far. We've collated the data quickly, accurately and automatically, because we're using tools to do that, because they're supposed to help us with our job. And it's now integrated and filtered to the things that we should be making decisions about. Everybody happy and comfortable so far? If you're not comfortable, just scooch a bit, it might make it a little bit better. Yeah, done the prevalence stats now, aren't I? So that's what we're gonna do. So what have we learned so far? Because there's still a big question of this, so what? Do we agree? Wait, no, 18 people in the audience. Some of those who were awake and now asleep, so sorry for that. Do you need emotions to make a decision? Quick question. Does anybody believe you can make a decision without emotions? Now, I don't care how I ask questions, by the way, because I can actually, I've got more people I can ask a question on in here than most of the adverts that turn around and say how good their products are. Okay, but if I just turn around and ask the wrong question, I can guarantee an answer. Because if you are shy and reserved, put your hand up. Okay, there was one person who put his hand up who I happen to know who's done it. Okay, and he's a person who actually didn't understand the question, but that's typical of me actually, if anyone knows him anyway. Thanks for that, Lou. Okay, I don't know whether anybody's actually done any research on this, but I have. Okay, I'm not going to read the slides that are on there, but there's been several examples where people have had problems with their frontal lobe and had the emotional side taken away from them because of tumour, cancer or accidents. Okay, and these are people who were very senior in organisations, have been proven to make decisions beforehand, but when they got up in the morning, if they were given a choice between toast or cereal, couldn't make the decision when their emotional side was taking out. So it's actually impossible to make a decision without emotions. So as project managers and engineers, where we're data-driven to try and make our board make the right decision, should we also think about how we can engage their emotion about why they should be making a decision, if that's the only way it gets made? Okay? So let's have a look at decision-making. Why do women buy handbags? Okay? It's quite an interesting question. And how does emotion support that decision? So here's a, I won't say a typical woman, but here's a woman, and she wants to buy a handbag because it carries items, because it looks nice, because it matches her clothes, and because it's large enough to fit many items. They're like the TARDIS. Okay, they hold everything in them. So let's look at two particular options that this lady might have for the handbag she can choose. One over there, which is from Next, and costs 30 quid. And then this one, that's Louis Vuitton, that costs £19,900. So we're used to data-driven. If we were a data-driven race or species, then Louis Vuitton wouldn't exist. Okay, because there would be no emotions involved. Okay, and that, by the way, was my best sort of drawing for the Louis Vuitton bag, if you can understand it. So I'm not going to set this, I'm going to talk about why men would buy cars. And what kind of cars we would buy. Okay? So how do emotions affect a typical male? So why do I want a car? I want a car because it's going to eventually, it's going to get me somewhere. So this is the data behind it. I also want a car because it's reliable. I want a car because it looks nice. Okay, and I want a car because I want it to be well manufactured, so it's, you know, I couldn't think of anything else to put a fourth bottle. Okay, so I've got two choices. Which one do I have? Now, I've never seen this one on Top Gear. Okay, this one, okay, or that one. Okay, so this is a Dacia Sandero. It's £5,995, but it has no radio. You have to get the radio as an extra. Okay. Now the Porsche Boxster costs a lot more than £5,995. When you turn it on, okay, turn the radio on, it says Porsche, because that's my car. And that was definitely not a data-driven decision. That was definitely an emotional decision. I was going to put a picture of me being really happy, but it looked really bad. It really did. Okay. So, are business decisions the same? Do we spend any emotions in a business decision? Believe it or not, yes. I've already proven, okay, well, I can't say I've proven because there's research scientists and we never actually declare anything being absolute. Okay, but there is already evidence to sway me to say, is that a good way of getting out of it? Yeah. More to the opinion than we need emotions to make decisions. But let's have a look at some of that. Let's take another example. Okay, the data in this, the question is, do I cross the bridge? The data will not change. The data will still be, it is a stable bridge, and it is capable of carrying my weight. When I take it to the information point of view, at the moment it's on the ground, and the decision, do I do it or not? Maybe, there's no reason why I should. Well, there's no reason why I shouldn't. Do we all agree with that? Oh, 25 people. It's increasing. If I said £100, you can do it. Okay, yeah, a few people. I would, on basis of many, because I know you're a British audience. So if I said who would do it, actually, we're going to get a few hands come up, no matter how much I try and prompt you. Okay, if this has worked to an American audience, I'd be going, woo, 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 by now. That's great. Lucky to know that. Okay, if I now change the information, it's now 6 feet off the ground. For £100, who would do it? Well, I wouldn't. Okay, I've got about the sense of reason why I'm walking around, and also because I wanted to camp around to do some work rather than just sitting there. So maybe I'll do something for a change. There's no wind, would you do it? Some people would, some people wouldn't. But for £1,000, I would. Okay, because I have to fuel my Porsche for about 3 days the way I'm going through fuel at the moment. Okay, and the reason being is because the positive reward is actually greater than the negative punishment. Okay, so it's an emotional decision, the data doesn't change. If I then transferred it to 600 feet with a small wind, okay, that probably would be my expression. I've got to be perfectly honest, because I hate heights. So for £1,000, no idea that. In fact, for £10,000, or even for £100,000, I would not do that. And I'm not going to bother asking anybody in the room if they would. Okay? But is that based on data? Or is it based on emotional reward? Because the data hasn't changed. It's still a stable bridge. Okay? The question is still, do I cross the bridge? So whatever we look at, if the bridge is stable and capable of carrying weight, what's changed? It's the emotional response to actually doing either the decision or not doing the decision. Okay? So let's make it an emotional decision instead. Now, originally when I was doing this, I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll turn around and say, what happens if your wife or husband was about to fall off? Now, when I said this to my wife, she said, I'd wait an hour and see what happened. Okay, so instead, somebody that you love, you're this side. Yeah, she changed her mind soon enough, so I'll be over there like a shot. If you're over this side and somebody you love is about to fall off, the question would not be, do I cross the bridge? The question would be, how fast do I get across it? And that is an emotional decision. Okay? I've even got people standing up in the audience at the back. It's great, this. Okay. So what, again, we're still talking about data-driven decision-making. Okay, so let's have a look. In order for the management team, we've spoken a little bit about to make decisions, we need to be given information regarding the impact of that decision. And if I go back to this and have a look at a couple of things in advance. Now, I don't know how many of you do this as an organisation, okay, but as a project management department, what we should be doing before a meeting, even if it means the board meeting becomes a week later in your current organisation, is to actually identify the schedule variances or the cost variances, say for example the top 10, and pass them to the major decision making of the board. And then he can say, I knew about 1, 2 and 3, I didn't know about 4, and therefore what I want you to do now is to go back to the person that owns 4 and tell them to give me the options about what I can do with regards to that, with regards to schedule recovery, what's the impact to cost and critical path, and from cost recovery, what's the impact on time, okay, and what's the impact on the critical path. So that when they come into the meeting, rather than sitting there and informing me of the data, which actually I can read a spreadsheet as well, I'm actually more interested in finding out what happens if I make a decision. Do you agree that that's the information that we need? Okay? Well, let's actually have a look at that. Because that will still potentially lead to indecision. Because what we haven't done is told them the impact of what happens if they don't make a decision. Okay, so there's actually three things that we want. Is it safe if I don't move? We're in a position for schedule recovery, impact on cost critical path, for cost recovery, impact on time critical path, and then I do nothing. If you do nothing this month, this will be the effect. Bless you. So we're now in a position, that was automatic, did you notice that by the way? So apologies for that. So if we're in a position now where we're able to give this, then this is where the board can then say, emotionally, which is the best decision I can make? Because if I don't do nothing, okay, there's going to be this impact.
If I do about schedule, it'll affect all these people. If I do about costs, it'll affect all these people. And they'll be able to make that strategic decision. That's the data that decision makers need. Would you agree with that, any decision makers in the audience? Okay, so they're asleep, as normal, like a board meeting, isn't it? Okay, so let's have a look at understanding board emotions. If the data expected to enable the decision-making process, it must be presented in a form of information that addresses the emotional influence to the decision-makers. Now that's nice in words, but a bit difficult to explain in practice, do we agree? So I've tried to explain that a little bit. So if we look at the emotional influences, okay, what is worrying the board? Let's have a look at a couple of typical board members. So these typical board members sat around the board table and they'll have certain worries. For example, this person here might be worried about staying on time. So their key thing is schedule. The next person might be worried about revenue. So their issues are payment milestone forecasts. That person might be worrying about actual costs to date. So they're worried about the costs to date. I'm not going to go through all the board members, but I'll leave it at required resources, and that's a HR resource and demand. So if we then just look at just one of those examples with an impact emotion, we'll look at schedule. So we're going to give them options. We're going to say the schedule information or the data is we are already currently 2 months behind schedule. So now what can we do? Okay, recovery options for it. We could work overtime. The cost impact will be 50k. We'll miss the payment milestones by a month, but and we'll recover the variance in 3 months. Or we could employ contractors, 75k, achieve payment milestones and recover schedule variance. Or we could do nothing. If we do nothing, apart from these decisions, it will increase by 10 grand a month, boss. So it will be next month, it will be 60k. And we will be another month late, so we won't recover for 4 months now. All of a sudden, you are then putting that person in a position where they're accountable for doing nothing. And doing nothing is actually a decision. So you have, as project management people, a responsibility to make sure that your board know that doing nothing is actually a decision that they have made and what the relevant impact is. Believe it or not. Okay. Now, I have no idea how I'm doing on time. Did I go backwards again? No. So, does that hopefully answer your question? Ish. Okay, has anybody got any other questions? Yes. Okay, for those of you who didn't hear that, that was a very good question. It's all about the why we are where we are. So what we've done there is in that example, I said we were currently 2 months behind, but there was nothing in my slide presentation to explain how we got there, okay? I was just talking about recovery. You're absolutely right. In this, if you remember these are the schedule variants we need to look at. In that, I'm expecting there to be a very definitive, like cost performance report 5, saying we are here because of these things. And therefore, all I was looking at there was the recovery side. But absolutely, if you don't know how you got to where you are, or you assume that the future is going to be different to the past, then you'll get a different result anyway. So that is very, very valid. Thank you for that. I'll make sure if I do this again, I'll add that little bit in. Any other questions?